Welcome back in. Final hour. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. And as we do every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com. PK, good morning. How are you?
I'm well, guys. How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for being with us this morning. PK, what were your impressions from Rand Carthon and his introductory press conference last Friday?
Very good. Won the press conference for sure. Great vibe, all of that. But, fans tend to love the vibe. And the vibe is not the most important thing. I don't want to rain on it. I thought, he was really, really good. But I think there are very few introductory press conferences that are bad. I'm thinking of Adam Gase with the Jets. I mean, that was a horror show. But, John Robinson, however many years ago, had the exact same vibe, and had, several years of really good work also. So, it's the pattern and the way that things go. There should be giant enthusiasm. You should hire a guy who presents himself well at the beginning and has kind of an organized thinking and smart responses. It gives you a feeling of positive direction and has something good to say about every question that's thrown at him, and gives you a feeling that that the team has a new and encouraging direction. And anything less than that, I think, would have been a disappointment. So he met expectations, I think, in every level. But now, obviously he's got a lot of work to do to start to fulfill all that.
Was the Gase press conference actually, like, bad, or was it just that there was those weird moments where he's, like, looking at butterflies? I don't even remember the actual presser. I just remember that thing that we kept looking at where he's, like, looking around and, yeah, okay. It was legit bad front to back?
I think it was the standard for bad.
Okay. Maybe I'll go back and watch that. I agree. It was a very good press conference, very impressive. It's also like I don't think I've ever seen a GM more like the celebration. I know this is kind of like just the thing with sports, teams and their accounts, right? But like the celebration and the pomp and circumstance around a GM hire, it is not what it used to be. But speaking of not what it used to be, PK, how do you think things will change? Like what's going to be the most significant change from John Robinson's approach to Rand Carthon's approach, from what you've been able to gather?
I think, they're hitting the word collaboration in a big way, but, in conjunction with that, I think there's going to be less ego. And I don't know that John started off with the big ego, but after some success, I think there wound up being a lot of ego involved in things. I think he set himself up with a lot of people that agreed with him. And I think, ultimately he if he had people who were disagreeing with him around him, he wasn't ultimately listening to them. I just felt like, he took the buck stops here very seriously. And, he had some good results with some of those decisions early on, and that kind of buoyed his confidence in terms of, I don't want to call him a maverick, but he certainly had a great deal of swagger. And you like that swagger to a degree, but, it's a real seesaw there, and it can only take one bad move to kind of start to move your thing in the other direction. And we saw that happen pretty quickly for Vrabel. 2019 was a fantastic draft, and things, we saw moves that took things apart pretty quickly for him. And I get the sense, you know, off the little bit we know, and I'm sure you've talked to a lot of people in the background that I have too, that Rand's a pretty humble guy. And I don't know that success will take him far away from that. And I'm not trying to take shots at John. I'm just calling it like I see it.
Paul Kaharsky from PaulKaharsky.com with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. PK, did you read anything at all into, I guess, what some Titans fans have pointed out, the different ways that he answered the Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill questions at the press conference?
No, people parsing too much. I mean, that question, by the way, wasn't about Derrick Henry. It was about philosophically running, right? That Derrick Henry's name, I don't think, was in the question.
No, there's two different ones. There's two different moments. The running one, he gave the Golden State Warriors to the built around a running back, but someone asked him specifically about Derrick, too. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, I don't think it's unreasonable for him not to have formulated an opinion on Ryan Tannehill yet. And, you know, Ryan Tannehill definitely has Mike Vrabel's backing. I like the idea that the GM's coming in ready to assess him. But I think people are going crazy with the potential alternatives at quarterback. They save $18 million if they part with Ryan Tannehill. They also still swallow $17 million, which on its own is not a lot of money. But if you're stacking a veteran quarterback's contract on top of it, it is a lot of money. So I think people are going wild with every possible scenario. To me, it's very likely Tannehill on an extension. And if it's not Tannehill, then it's probably a young guy with them doing something with 11 to move up to get somebody, which I'm not a huge fan of because they've got so many needs that I think it would be foolhardy to be giving up a lot of picks right now because they have so many other things. And a drafted quarterback would be coming into a team that's depleted all around him. I'd be more of a fan of fortifying all of those positions for a quarterback who maybe would be coming in next year.
Well, except I hear you, but doesn't it come down to really just the evaluation and belief? I mean, first of all, I think we'd have to agree, like they have to go into this evaluation process absolutely doing everything they can to figure out whatever they can about all these quarterbacks. But if you believe one of them is the guy and is going to be your answer to some of these other great young quarterbacks in the AFC, don't you accept like a bad year with that quarterback, bad roster, and then you have another high pick in 24 and then you can come back strong in 25?
Well, if that guy falls to you at 11, sure, but if you're giving up the value to go to Arizona, I think Arizona's at 3 or 4, right? You'd have to go to 3 or 4 to get him. To go to 3 or 4 to get him, you're giving up 11, a third, and next year's first round pick minimally. So you don't have another high pick next year. So, yeah, I mean, there are two schools of thought there. The one that I just laid out where you're giving up too much to build, to fortify a team around him. And the other one where you do whatever you have to go get that quarterback and worry about everything else later. I don't love these quarterbacks. I'm intrigued by Stroud. I absolutely hate Levis. So, you know, maybe you think this is the only time you're going to be high and you have to go get that guy. Then you could go get that guy, give him the job, and get rid of Tannehill, save 18, and go ahead and start the rebuild with a rookie quarterback. But he's not going to have much of an offensive line in front of him because you're not getting a first-round offensive line pick. You don't have a third-round pick to get an offensive lineman with, and you're not going to have a first-round pick next year to get one with either. So you're going to have a pretty bad roster around him. But I could understand that approach entirely.
Yeah, well, the thing is, if you do, and I think this is what they will do. I think it's going to be Tannehill next year and Henry. An attempt to fix the offensive line and receiving core. But if you do that and the defense is what we think it could be and you get health luck and that turns around, then you're going to be pretty good next year. So then it's like, okay, now these quarterbacks in 24 look like they might be amazing, but how the heck do you get to them?
Well, then you mortgage a whole bunch, and you give up that year's first and the next year's first and whatever it takes, but your roster's in a lot better position, and then you're ready to become more of a passing offense because Derek's a year closer to the end.
Paul Kuharsky.
All right, I can subscribe to your plan.
That's not bad. Paul Kuharsky.
That's kind of my general sense of how I would do it.
I think that very much could be within the realm of possibility. PK, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to be with us this week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, boys.
Absolutely. Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. More on the Titans coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Stuperbrook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio here on this Wednesday morning, presented by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Thanks to Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com for joining us in the last segment. I got some tickets to give away to see Andrew Dice Clay at the Ryman Auditorium this Sunday night. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Andrew Dice Clay at the Ryman Auditorium this Sunday night. 615-737-1025.
Andrew Dice Clay.
Yeah.
You ever seen any Andrew Dice Clay comedy?
No. You going?
I'm not, but I remember. Hickory Dickory Dock, et cetera, et cetera.
Et cetera, et cetera. Take your thoughts on the text line. Got a texter that says, Josh Dobbs will be the quarterback next year. Remember this message because I'll be back to it to toot my own horn later. It's the Titans thing to do. I'm not saying it's what I do. I'm just saying that's what they're going to do. This is from a texter on the text line.
Yeah, that's a terrible text. That's so dumb and wrong. Sorry. But you can't toot your own horn. Like, you gotta give us a name so we can make fun of you later. No, Josh Dobbs is going to be somebody. I helped himself in this league. He's going to stay in this league, and I think he's a quality backup quarterback. He's not going to be the Titans starting quarterback next year.
Garrison on the text line says, am I the only one who thought two interviews didn't seem very thorough for the GM role? When we hired a CEO for our $40 million company, he went through 9 separate interview steps. This from Garrison on the text line.
That's not true.
You could, well, maybe it is.
9 interviews?
That's a heck of a lot of interviews, man.
Why would you need more than 2 with anyone ever?
Well, I mean, Jeff Saturday has been in the Colts facility for months, and now he's at 2. He may go to 3 at some point.
Yeah, Ursay's going to have, like the 12 days of Saturday Christmas.
Jeff, could you come back tomorrow? There's more things I'd like to discuss
Let's
with
you. Let's talk about the partridge
and the
pear tree.
I know we've been talking for 9 hours in a row, but come on back tomorrow.
Like what? Like 9 interviews? Like, is that, are you saying like with different people? Like, I understand that, like talking to different people, but how would you have 9 levels of interviews? I feel like most jobs are fine with 1. You talk about what you need to talk about, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about what we do. Let's talk about what you do. Let's make a decision. I'm getting so cranky at these texts.
By the way, Robert is the texter's name who thinks that Dobbs will be the quarterback. Robert says, another terrible take from Joe, thinking the Titans won't tighten the quarterback situation. LOL. And my name is Robert. I will be back.
Okay, Robert. Well, that's good. Now I'm going to remember your name for this. So
I'm going to put it in the contact list right now.
There you go. Put Robert. Yeah, there you go. We can just text you and taunt you. So Josh Dobbs is going to be the quarterback, and then so they're doing what with Tannehill? They're not drafting one. They're moving on from Tannehill. They're just everything in the Josh Dobbs basket.
He's like, a backup.
What in the Titans' history tells you that they're? I mean, I understand that they've had like stretches where like Zach Mettenberger was a quarterback and stuff. Like every franchise has, or Harvard guy. I mean, every franchise has their stretches where like they have a backup at QB, someone gets hurt, or they're between quarterbacks. But why would you think that?
I don't know. It's a good question.
They have a good starting quarterback. He's not great, but he's good.
Garrison is texted back in. Says 100% true. Different people, employees, outside advisors, case study. Cody from Portland says,
I interviewed four times for my position, two on the phone, one in person, and 1 hour in person with the director I'd be reporting to.
That's bizarre.
I've got a headache.
I think two max is all I've ever done.
See, I have no patience.
Yeah.
I'd be like, hey, you going to hire me or what? What are we doing? That's why I wouldn't get the job.
Yeah, that's nine?
One of many reasons why I wouldn't get the job. Be qualified to do nothing other than this.
It was a very stringent interview process for us.
You guys
technically had to interview me. I remember being so stressed.
Oh, yeah.
Porth was like, okay, you got to meet Robbie and Rex. And we sat at the little desk, and I was like trying so hard. I remember.
He called me Rex?
Maybe Joe?
She walked out of the interview and was like, God, these two guys are idiots.
I put on my nicest fit. And now I just show up in jeans and sneakers.
We should have demanded a few other levels of interviews, you know. Apparently that's really important to do. David in Arkansas says, speaking of the GM conversation, surprised J-Rob hasn't landed a job yet. Yeah. I think he's going to be in Tampa Bay or New England in some role. I think that'll happen. And I think he should be a GM again. But we'll see. But, you know, you're not going to probably immediately go to GM again. But he's going to stay with one of those. You know, the thing about that job is, and that world, is that you do not really want to lose connection with evaluating personnel in the league at some level in some way. And amateur personnel for too long. You will not be up to date, and it's hard to catch up. So
it's hard to catch up now. Having said that, luckily for him, he got a contract extension about this time a year ago.
Oh, he's fine with the money.
He's fine with the money,
yeah. No doubt.
So yeah. I guess you can kind of pick your spot there if you're John Robinson. But, yeah, I mean, at this point, he's not going to be a GM next year. But you look around and maybe you do join a personnel department in Tampa Bay or New England. I mean, that would make sense. That's where he's been before, and that's where he had a lot of success.
Yeah, I would think so. And that's why, to your point there, I think I mentioned this, you know, another media type in the NFL is like, well, so Vrabel's probably, you know, in trouble, right? If they don't really turn around next year. I'm like, I mean, look, anything's possible. Like, if it just really goes bad or whatever, but if you're Amy Adams Strunk, you're going to give out those two extensions, 10 years worth of extensions, and pay for like 7 of the 10 years to be, you know, unworked. That's hard for me to buy.
It's hard for me to buy, too. I wonder, as you look at this, if you're the Titans, I look at this situation, and it was interesting to get Kuharsky's take on it in the last segment, just because he's right. With Carthon, like, everybody, for the most part, wins the press conference. I'm with you. I want to go back and watch the Gaze press conference now because I remember watching it at the time. But
I just remember the eyes.
That's worth going to watch it by itself. But now, what does the work look like? Like, we talked this morning about Rodgers and Brady. Would you pursue that if you're the Titans, if those two guys become available? I still think, of all the scenarios we've thrown out, by far the most likely scenario is Ryan Tannehill's your starting quarterback next year. You play, and then you see where you go from there. Now, we just got a text a few minutes ago on the text line, and I can't find it right now, but I'll go back and look it. But essentially, the text was, okay, let's say they go Kuharsky's route, and it is Ryan Tannehill. You're going to win 8, 9, 10 games, probably somewhere in that neighborhood next year, if people stay healthy. Is that better for you in the long run than it would be to just be bad next year? It's kind of the same conversation that we've had about the Predators. You know, if you're the Titans and you get through next year and you do want to move up and go get a quarterback, will it be harder to do? How much more would you have to give up in order to go do it? Now, again, you may also like the quarterbacks better next year, too, which is a big part of this conversation, too.
You won't be alone.
You will not be alone. And it's a very difficult needle to thread where they're at right now.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you're at 20 or if you're at 11, you know, it's just, look, I mean, 11 is more attractive to the team moving down, right? So you don't have to give up as much. So it's a really interesting question. Again, we've talked about this. And I think it has to hold true when you think about what they would do next year. If they're going to do this with Tannehill and Henry, then it can't be, you know what, let's just have an okay year. Let's just be okay for our first year, and then we'll see what happens. Let's be pretty good. I mean, you have to try to figure out a way to get back to where you were a year ago when you were the one seed. It's a lot. It's heavy lifting, yeah, and it's luck and all that. But like, that has to be the vision, right? It can't just be like, let's have a nice 9-8 year, and then we'll kind of get on with our future. But this is also why, as you pointed out, and I agree, I mean, if they are in love with one of these quarterbacks now, then do it. And then you will be bad, probably, but you have your quarterback.
Exactly. James on the text line says, I want a job talking on the radio about sports, being snarky, having crappy takes. Please interview as many times as you want. I don't care. I like it. This is from James on the text line.
I get that. I don't care. I like it. What does that mean?
I don't care how many times it takes to interview me, I guess. Okay. Interview me as many times as you want.
Who are you talking about snarky and crappy takes, James?
Is that me or Joe?
Just crap out of here, man.
Is it both? 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for The Choice is Yours. Michelle Gnezovic in the questions chair. We'll get to that coming up next. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. It's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game tomorrow night, you'll win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Your next chance to participate is tomorrow morning at 8:45. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
We all have choices to make. Like right now. It's The Choice is Yours, built by Jared Companies. You have a choice, so when you have a need for site and utility work, fire protection, concrete and asphalt services, the choice is simple. It's Jared Companies. For more, visit JaredCompaniesInc.com. The Choice is Yours, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the week. Time for The Choice is Yours, presented by Jared Companies, your one-stop shop for site and utility work, fire protection, paving, and concrete needs. Get your free estimate at JaredCompaniesInc.com. Two sports questions, two non-sports questions. Michelle Gnezovic in the questions chair this week. Michelle, I turn things over to you.
Okay, guys, what do we want to start with, sports or non-sports?
Sports.
Okay, you can have, for this Tennessee Titans team, any of these quarterbacks in their prime.
Okay.
Tom Brady in his prime, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, or Aaron Rodgers, but on this current roster.
Ooh, this roster. That's a good one. That's tough. I think... Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, I'll still go. Yeah, it is tough. That's a good question. Because, I mean, the easy impulse is Brady. Brady is prime. We all agree he's the GOAT, do we not? Do we not agree that Brady is the GOAT?
We do.
So why would the GOAT not be the obvious answer? But I understand the question. This roster, mobility could be a nice
big
thing
factor
to have.
Yeah, Brady's always kind of been a little statue-y.
Maybe I'll go Rodgers.
I'm going Brady. I'm still going Brady. Although, the more I think about it, the more you might need somebody running around on this thing. I'll go Brady. Brady in his prime, I've got confidence in him to figure it out. Now, this answer, you'd ask me the same question like 5 years from now, I may go Mahomes, may go Burrow. But right now, I'll go Brady in his prime.
See, I've seen Burrow not be able to escape pass rush. So, yeah it's Mahomes and Rodgers are my two.
Okay, there you go. I'm going Brady.
Okay, I'm going to go Patrick Mahomes. I'm happy we all picked different ones in this. And I'm doing a little projecting because I still think we have some years to come where Mahomes even takes a step above that. I think this year was pretty big, you know, without Tyreek Hill. But I swear, also watching him, just every time I'm like, oh, God, what is he doing? What is he doing? And then he just makes some ridiculous play. Yeah, I'm gonna go Patrick Mahomes with this one, but definitely a tough one. Joe Burrow, maybe eventually get there. He's still young. But,
well, like both of those guys, I think, have a chance to be all-time greats. Like Mahomes is already on his way to being an all-time great.
Yep.
By the end of his career, he will be discussed as one of the greatest quarterbacks ever.
Yeah, I think it's possible they both are. Yeah.
Okay, moving on to non-sports. Okay, this one's a funny one. When you were a kid, what was a sport that you tried that you were really bad at?
Man, I tried that I was really bad at. Well, honestly.
Or maybe thought you were good in the moment and you look back and you're like, ooh.
Honestly, hockey. Like, I pretty much exclusively played baseball, basketball, and football growing up. And then I got a wild hair, like, at age 14 or 15. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go play high school hockey. So, I mean, you could go try out. You're going to make the team. Nobody got cut. But you went, and for whatever reason, like, the drills that we did, like, everything was going forward. We were just, you know, it was puck handling, just kind of playing out there, which was fine. I could handle all that. Like, I could shoot. I could skate well enough to where I could do things going forward. And then we got to the first practice, and we had to, like, stop and skate backwards and do all this other stuff. And I was absolutely atrocious out there. And I was like, you know what? Maybe at age 15, this is not a great time for me to start doing this. So hockey would be my answer. Still play every now and then since then, and it's fine. But starting at the age of 15 was maybe not my greatest idea.
Yeah, that's tough, man. That's tough. Yeah, I played soccer one time in eighth grade gym. And, yeah, it was bad. And it's as a soccer parent and everything, like, I love soccer. And actually, I wish I played soccer. I enjoy it. Like, when I play with the kids, like, the only thing that I have going for me is peripheral vision. That's why I drop dimes on the hoop court all the time.
Yes. Of course.
I feel like that would have benefited me playing the game of soccer, but I was horrible. I didn't know how to, I had never done anything. And
no
so
touch.
That was it. Eighth grade soccer, gym. It's too bad.
Wow, I just muted myself. Mine was softball.
Okay.
So I played, you know, it's one of those sports where I feel like everybody young, they play either softball, baseball, and then soccer. You get involved with it young. So I played softball, and I remember, like, with the tee, that was great, you know, like, then when the dads pitched, great. And then I remember when I was in that transition phase of we were actually pitching, I would just stand there at the plate and be like, okay, I'm just going to wait until, you know, they throw all these bad pitches, and I'll just wait till the dad comes out and then pitches to me, which my uncle was the coach, so I was just waiting for that. Then they'd be like, you struck out. I'm like, why do I keep striking out all the time? I would just wait there. I'm like, I'm not hitting any of these balls. So, yeah, it wasn't very good. Needless to say, I got out of that quickly after that season. But, yeah, softball. I'm not very athletic as a whole. But
you were how old then?
I was probably 12, I think, when you start to switch.
That's the thing. I mean, even like baseball, softball, if you're not, you know, hitting earlier, it's hard.
Yeah,
it's hard.
Oh, well, I started like, you know, kindergarten or whatever.
Oh, okay.
But it was more of me just like, yeah, not for me. Not very good. Okay, so I did the two sports ones right away. Sorry, guys. Now switching to non-sports. You are on a deserted island. Let's think of Castaway.
Okay.
You have to survive for a week. What are three things that you are bringing? And it can't be another person. Just three things that you are bringing to help you survive.
Are you saying it can't be another person to eat? Are we getting to cannibalism already? Or so
what's that book you have to read when you're a kid?
I don't know.
With Piggy. That just made me think of that.
I have no idea.
What? Is this a cannibalism book?
They read different things in New York.
No, everybody has read this book.
This little piggy went to market?
No, the plane crashes.
Yeah, I didn't read this book.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now I need a text line. Help me out, please.
I'm an adjacent boomer here. Okay, so I just want to make sure I have the question right. Three things that you need to take to survive for a week. Because, I mean, my answer is going to be food and water.
No. Okay. Like three specific things. Three specific things.
Well, I mean, if I don't have food and water.
Lord of the Flies. Thank you, Dennis, on the text line.
Oh, okay. Right. Gotcha.
I'm with you now.
Come on, you guys are thinking I'm crazy over here. I'm like, wow, I'm not crazy on this one.
No,
like,
we went from cannibalism to piggy. I didn't know what was going on.
Good night, moon, to like pig lands on an island. Now I gotcha. Lord of the Flies. Well, I mean, I guess it would be, it would be a gun.
Yeah.
A lighter. And probably Gasoline?
Yeah, that's what I was going
to
say.
I mean, right? Like, you have to be able to kill animals, and then you need to be able to cook them.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then you still, I don't know what you, I mean, you're going to find a natural stream for drinking water, but that's it, right? How else are you going to survive?
I'll bring a machete.
Yeah, or like
a
knife. Yeah.
A spear to go fishing with. And then I'll bring a little gasoline, too. Actually, you know what? I won't bring
But you got to be able to light it. I mean, I know you can do the stick thing, but.
That's true. Man, okay. Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay, so I'm going to go the machete route as well because I feel like you could use that
coconut.
But I was leaning more towards, you know, like building a shelter, like if you have to cut some branches.
Sure.
So that, and then also, you know, for food. I'm not going to go into detail on that, but a machete.
Yeah, to murder animals, yes, and eat them.
Chase them down.
The next thing I'm going to bring is a water filter, like a little Brita water filter, so okay. Then I can use the ocean water to drink.
Would that work?
We're going to say it's going to work. I just thought
of it. I
don't
know that the Brita will
or something that water. Filters water, so then I could put that in there and then drink it, and okay. I could stay alive. And then lastly, I think I need matches. I would say a lighter, but if it runs out of, like, oil or something, just have, like, a big pack of matches from, like, Costco. So I have plenty. So, yeah, those would be my three things that would do to survive. Okay, last question, guys. Which reality show that's currently airing or has aired in the past that you think you could be really successful on and potentially win?
I got a quick answer. It's absolutely – It's a quote-unquote reality show, but it's a game show. I mean, it's a competition. Big Brother, absolutely. And at some point, and I've tried to get my little sister to go on Big Brother, you know, but she hasn't. I don't know. Did she apply one time? She might have. But at some point, I want to be the old guy on Big Brother because there's always an old man or woman on that show to go with all the young people, and they don't always do that well, but I would absolutely crush on that show. I mean, basically – just get along with people, lose competitions on purpose, be non-threatening, and then you're going to ultimately have to win some big competitions late. But it's so easy to stay in the game. That every year, these idiots, you're going to get me on a real Big Brother rant. You know, they come out like guns blazing, making these big moves, and you're immediately voted out the first chance everybody can get. And it's like, how does this happen every year?
I think we should clip this audio and send it into them so you can get on.
Yeah, that's a good point. I need to get some washboard abs, though. So, yeah, still.
Now, granted, I haven't watched this show in probably 15 years. Apparently, it's still on, which is good for them. Survivor, in the old school way it was played, I feel like I'd be good at. Mm-hmm. I would just snoop around until I found the hidden immunity idol. I'd find that thing. Even if somebody had it, I'd find it.
Wait, immunity what?
The hidden immunity idol.
Yeah, see, I've never really watched Survivor.
Yeah.
Oh, it's such a good show.
Yeah, it just keeps you from being eliminated.
And they're still on? Survivor's still on?
Apparently.
Yeah, but you can only use, you would have to hide it. And then if somebody is voting you out, then you can use it. But you have to use it before they count the votes. So it's kind of hard. But I love that show. And it also, you have to, you know, use machetes and stuff. So Robbie, you'd probably be good at it. Okay, mine is Amazing Race. And I've been trying to get
my
little sister, Christina. She's 17 years old. And she would never go on it with me. But she is the family member that I would choose to go on it with me. Love everybody else, but she is very smart when it comes to, you know, remembering things. You have to do, like, puzzles. You have to do some, like, skydiving, like, all over the country. And essentially, you travel all over the country, and you're running, you're backpacking. It sounds amazing. So maybe I'll clip this and send it to them, and then my sister will have to go on with me. But, yeah, that's mine. And then also a lot of people on the text line are saying that I would never survive on the island. Thanks. I appreciate your faith in me.
Dead. You'd have a better chance than me. What about MILF Island? Is there a way to win that show? Isn't that a show now?
What?
I'm pretty sure that's a reality show now.
You mean Love Island?
No, there's a MILF Island or something like that. I'm telling you. Now I'm going to Google it.
615-737-1025.
God, I hope I'm right.
This has been The Choice Is Yours that you can check out every Wednesday at 8:45 unless we get kicked off the air. 615-737-1025. Let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. The NFL Conference Championships are this Sunday, and you can enjoy more thrills than a two-minute drill on FanDuel. Doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account, because they're giving all customers a no-sweat same-game parlay. That means we get free bets back if your conference championship same-game parlay doesn't hit. You can bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to which player will score a touchdown. Or you can't, if you can't decide, you can ride with thousands of other fans and bet popular same-game parlays already pre-made for you. If you're new to FanDuel, sign up with promo code ROB to see for yourself why it's America's number one sportsbook. I'm going with Cincinnati to take down Kansas City on the road this weekend. I have faith in Joe Burrow and company, but you take it any way you want to take it. If you already have FanDuel, you can start building your no-sweat same-game parlay today. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. 3-plus legs, minimum $1 bet required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. A max bonus of $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Preds fans, don't miss tonight's Smashville Live show at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs starting at 6 o'clock. See your Preds star players up close and personal. Get autographs and pictures. Player guests tonight will be Nino Niederreiter and Ryan McDonough. Smashville Live is brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Little Harpeth Beer, and Superbook Sports. Welcome back into what could be the final edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on this Wednesday morning.
Chase is cutting us down to an infomercial at 5 a.m. every day.
Welcome in to Robbie and Rex Road. Okay, we'll see you later.
No, he's actually just going to air the audio of you on that reality show.
Oh, man. Great text here. Zach Wilson is the executive producer of MILF Island. That's an outstanding response. But
well, he is going to need another job soon. So.
But the reality is I'm right. It's MILF Manor. Excuse me. Whatever. I was a word off. One of the two words. But, yeah, I got the main word. And apparently, I didn't know this, but apparently it's these older women, and their sons are dating, like, each other, like, the other women. Like, it's all, like, these women bring their sons, and then the sons date the other moms?
Wow. Is this in what Utah or something? Where is this?
I don't know. It's a manor. But as someone pointed out also, MILF Island is actually the fake reality show from the great show 30 Rock, which accurately predicted the eventual existence of MILF Manor. Thank you.
This is why you listen to this program, because you never know where it's going to go.
Exactly.
A lot of things happening on the text line.
We're just spitting
right
facts
well
out here. You don't need Twitter.
WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on anything you want to talk about on the text line.
There's a lot of response to this.
Yes, there is.
I'm a little bit worried about how many of you immediately knew I was talking about MILF Manor. Yeah, a lot of MILF Manor fans who listen to the program. A
lot of them on the text line. No question about that. Josh Heupel got a contract extension yesterday, now being paid $9 million per season, runs through the end of the 2028 season. I guess it technically expires in January of 2029. What did you make of that news? That I think Chris Lowe was the first place I saw it. Then Tennessee announced it yesterday that Josh Heupel now with a contract extension.
Well, I recently in a mailbag advocated for a raise to 7.5 a year. I thought, you know, you go from 4 to 5, then you basically go, I mean, that's a 50% raise, right, if I'm doing math correctly. Going from 5, add 2.5 mil.
That is correct.
Thank you. But they went all the way to 9. So, hey, you're right there in Jimbo Lane. And honestly, it is, if you're Danny White and you're doing this, and you are like, this is going to be a championship program, I mean, he has expanded the Tennessee budget a lot in his short time as AD. He's done a lot of things to bring in more money, which is not easy to do, I would say, in this time period of, you know, like boosters kind of wondering if they should be giving more to collectives than to the actual athletic departments. But they've got everything rolling, and if you're going to be a championship program, then I think you do have to pay your football coach who just won 11 games a championship salary. And I understand it's only 2 years and people have Pruitt PTSD, but you had to do it. So I was surprised he went as high as he did, but you know what? Lane Kiffin makes $9 million a year. Get out of here.
Yep. I was, look, the first thing I thought about when I saw the news was, All right. So what is Tennessee fans' reaction to this going to be? Because they did do not the same thing, but they did give Jeremy Pruitt a contract extension early on, and then we saw how that played out after. Now, this is already way different than the Jeremy Pruitt situation was. He went 11-2. The recruiting's going really well. And, you know, it locks him in through 2028. Now, it's college football. That doesn't necessarily mean that he's locked in through 2028. But I think it was a move Tennessee was going to have to make. We talked about it after the Orange Bowl. Like, Josh Heupel was going to get a raise this offseason. I mean, there's no way around that. Is it more of a raise than maybe I thought it would be? Yeah, but like you said, it's not like he puts him at the top of the SEC. I think he's fifth right now in the SEC. So it's about, I think, right where he should be.
Yeah, or what? Jimbo is like 9.5 1 year, but he's 9 this year. So it's like, yeah. So in theory, it could be tied for fourth, but whatever. He's right in that same. And Kelly is 9.5. So it's really the same neighborhood of those guys. And then you have the two guys who should be ahead of everybody, Saban and Kirby Smart. And look, I mean, I understand that also when these things happen. I see people talking about, you know, this is a public institution and tax money goes to them and all these things, and that's true, but that's why athletic department budgets are separate. And I mean, look, this is what it is. It is big, big business, and if you want to win, this is the market. This is also why, finally, it's good that the athletes who play the games can get money too. Yay. And it people is. Can not pretend to be, you know, fake clutching their pearls, you know. Oh, my God, a McDonald's bag of money. I don't know why I had to bring a McDonald's bag, but you know what I'm saying.
So do you think Tennessee fans are going to freak out on how much money Heupel's making if they go 8-4 next year?
Well, oh, it'll be tweeted.
You think so? And this Vol Twitter, yep, it'll be tweeted.
I mean, Vol Twitter doesn't take much to go sideways. Yeah, if they have – so 8-4 next year would mean, okay, let's say – the Bama-Georgia losses, and then what would be, you know, I guess you could lose at Florida, lose at Kentucky, win the rest of your games, but then what win on your schedule would be impressive if that's what you do? What would be the most impressive win on your schedule if you go 8-4? If you go 8-4 and lose the traditional games you would expect on the schedule.
I mean, South Carolina. Spencer Rattler back.
Yeah, I mean, South Carolina's coming to your place. Yay. I mean, Texas A&M's coming to your place. Okay. Yeah. I mean, so if he goes 8-4 next year, will people bring up his salary? Oh, you better believe it.
Yeah.
But
UConn coming in.
Yeah. There you go. I mean, you got UVA here in Nashville.
Yeah.
John Glennon will be there in a suit and tie cheering on the Wahoos.
Golly, their non-conference schedule's not great next year.
No, it's very weak. I mean, look, and it's unfortunate, and this is where I think the 12-team playoff should be good because I think teams will be a little less fearful. But that's what you see. Some of these SEC teams and their non-league schedules have gone really weak. And Tennessee just has that double whammy. They're on Georgia's side, and they have Bama every year. I can't complain to them about their non-league when that's the case. They have at least had, like, the Pittsburgh series. They've played a reputable Power 5 program, at least. And that's about all you can really ask anymore. I'm hoping, with the playoff expanding, that you're going to see a little bit more courageous scheduling.
Not the case this next year with Tennessee.
No. Well, it's not a 12-team schedule. It's not a 12-team playoff next year either.
I think you'll see that as it moves forward here. But congratulations to Josh Heupel. Contract extension that he nailed down yesterday. The Predators get the win last night against the Winnipeg Jets. They'll be back at it coming up on Thursday as they take on New Jersey in their final game before the All-Star break. And, Joe, more interviews taking place today throughout the NFL. Jeff Saturday getting a second interview with the Indianapolis Colts. Their head coaching position is still open. And by the way, like, Sean Payton, still out there, still floating around out there. Like, is that going to get resolved at any point soon, or is he waiting on something else to happen? Like, I feel like the teams that are going to have coaching openings have coaching openings by this time.
How about Sean Payton Titans OC? Maybe so. He doesn't want to be head coach.
Maybe not.
No, it sounds like it's interesting. Jeff Duncan, who's covered Sean Payton for a long time, you know, saying yesterday that it's getting closer that he's just going to go to TV. I don't really like Sean Payton on TV that much.
Yeah, like he was okay.
Eh.
Yeah.
All these New Orleans Saints, they think are going to be awesome on TV, and they're like, eh. He should be a head coach somewhere. The league is more entertaining for it. I'd love to see him in Houston.
Titans fans would not love to see him in Houston, would be my guess.
Well, that's probably true. But it would make the AFC South a lot more interesting.
It would. No question about that. They Sean Payton led Texans with
Bryce Young.
Bryce Young as your quarterback. I don't know how it would work out, but it'd be fun.
Get that quarterback, Titans.
I don't think there's any question that it would be fun. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Chase and Michelle is coming up next. I hope everybody has a wonderful rest of their Wednesday. Michelle is going on vacation the rest of this week after the show today. So David James will be in with us tomorrow. So, Michelle, we hope you have a wonderful time on vacation.
Thanks, guys. I'll be freezing in New York, but I'll be back on Monday.
Take your lighter and your machete. And,
of course. Got to survive.
The Brita filter. Make sure you've got that as well. That does it for us. Chase and Michelle up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.